You're listening to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. One of the many burdens of dealing with a serious health condition like cancer or chronic immune disease is the toll of the medication that you have to take. You know, it's a daily cocktail sometimes of specialty drugs, and that can get expensive. That's not to mention the physical toll on one's body with side effects from the drugs often causing symptoms of their own that can become a problem. But a new study from researchers at the University of Texas at Austin may help make medications more effective, leading to lower doses for patients. Joining us now is Ross Thayer. He is postdoctoral researcher at the University of Texas's College of Natural Sciences, and he is co-author of a new paper. Ross, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about why drugs have such a short lifespan in the human body.
So a lot of drugs used these days to treat diseases such as cancer or diseases of the immune system are proteins. They're sort of very large, complicated molecules. Mm-hmm. And the human body is often an unfriendly place for these. A lot of the bonds that hold these proteins together can fall apart. These proteins then get degraded and lose their effectivity.
So what does your study do to improve on that?
So we've taken the existing bonds that stabilize these proteins and replaced them with a new bond between two selenium atoms. It's a much stronger bond and is more stable in the human body.
Those of us who are not that intimate with selenium atoms, I'm just curious if you can break this down for how, as a practical matter, this research might be applied so that it makes things better for patients.
Sure. So a lot of these drugs are very expensive and often have large side effects from the doses you need to give.
Right.
By making these proteins a lot more stable, we can decrease the dose we give a patient, and it'll last a lot longer in the body. This both decreases the side effects, and a lower dose means a lower cost.
Who do you imagine being most helped by this? Are there certain diseases that are more susceptible to this discovery than others?
So actually, the most exciting part of this is that protein therapeutics have really taken off over the last 15 to 20 years, uh-huh. and they're now used to treat all sorts of diseases. So this can be broadly applied to many, many different drugs.
Can I ask you if you're about to get rich? I mean, is this going to be the kind of
research? I'm a scientist. I will never personally get rich. UT has licensed this technology out to a biotech startup that is located in Boston that will be developing new protein therapeutics. So I think the company doing well is a success for everyone.
That's really interesting. You know, years ago, I remember someone telling me that she was a health reporter, and she said that health science and pharmaceutical research had reached such a point that we're now dealing with low-hanging fruit, that in future years we're basically going to be dealing with compounds that are designed to treat all sorts of diseases, and I put that in quotes, because it was just getting harder and harder to advance. You're smiling there, but I'm wondering, does that make sense to you? And I wonder if, in a way, what we're seeing is the result of finding a way to make existing treatments more effective.
I certainly think that's easier, and from a regulatory standpoint, making an existing drug more effective, you don't need to go through the same lengthy trials and regulatory approvals, so that's very attractive, but there's fruit of all heights out there for reaching. So
that's interesting. So at the end of the day, I guess I wonder, and I think a lot of listeners would be wondering, how soon might this development reach the marketplace?
I think quite soon. We are hoping to have, at least through our various collaborators, proteins and trials in certainly under 5 years. And the beauty of this is, because it's compatible with all sorts of existing drugs, these are very minor changes. The trials, the processes are already worked out. So it's a very streamlined process for getting this into the clinic.
Now that you've published this paper, what do you do? What do you move on to your next project? Or are you going to continue to work on
it? As a postdoc, I've certainly spent enough time as a postdoc, it's time for me to move on, and I'm considering a number of options. So
very interesting. Ross Thayer is his name. He is a researcher at the University of Texas at Austin. Thanks so much for stopping by the Texas Standard Studios. Good to meet you.
Cool. No worries. Same.
And you are listening to the Texas Standard.